one morning in the not-so-distant future.
Do you, Frank, take Maggie to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
And do you, Maggie, take Frank to be your lawfully wedded husband? Good girl. By the power vested in me by the Supreme Court of Massachusetts, I now pronounce you man and... whatever.
Avoiding the pun on this one, we're just going to say that's really tough. But coming soon to a church or whatever near you. This is Gregory Carpenter, and welcome back to Reverse Deception Radio here on the Veritas Radio Network. We're going to keep going on the episode today with a very interesting subject line. We've talked on the show several times about this perceived hate affair that we have with Russia all the time. And there's got to be a good reason for it. The good reason for a hate affair with Russia is to actually hide our love affair with Russia. Remember, if we have an enemy, we have a reason to keep the defense industrial base growing. Without an enemy, we don't have a reason to keep that up and running, funneling more money into Washington, D.C., and off to contractors. And with that, I read the headline, Oregon Shootout Rooted in Clinton Uranium Trade. With a very nice, crafty, stylish question mark. So it's fresh in the mind of many people, the standoff that happened in Oregon, and the fact that that was related to the Bundys and the Bureau of Land Management. We're not going to go back and rehash old history, but we will get into a different perspective on what's been going on there. Recently, there was an article published called The Clintons. Is the Oregon standoff really about uranium? The article was, in fact, a follow-up to a previous story that a writer from the New York Times had written called The Clintons, How Putin Grabbed One-Fifth of All U.S. Uranium. That's a lot of uranium. In the most recent article, he simply looked at the information he presented in the first article, how a deal approved under Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State transferred 20% of U.S. uranium production to Russia and tied it to the geographical location of the proposed uranium mine in Oregon. Coincidentally, the mine development was proposed for the same general area of the widely reported standoff between protesters and federal police forces. How coincidental that a uranium mine was going to be put right in the place where the standoff was. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're shocked. Completely shocked to hear this. First, a refresher on the Clinton-Russia deal. On April 23, 2015, the New York Times ran a story under the headline, Cash Flowed to Clinton Foundation Amid Russian Uranium Deal. The bare bones of the story, a Canadian company called Uranium One, controls a great deal of uranium production in the U.S. It was sold to Russia. How nice. It was done in five separate sales. So not the whole thing at once, five separate sales put together yielded 20% of the uranium production in the States. From the New York Times again, the sale gave the Russians control of one-fifth of all uranium production capacity. The story goes on to report how leaders from the Canadian mining industry made several charitable donations to the various endeavors of former President Bill Clinton and his family, including a total of $31.3 million from mining financier Frank Gustra, and then sold the Russians a company later dubbed Uranium One. As the New York Times pointed out, the sale of Uranium One to Putin required State Department approval because uranium is considered a strategic asset. And then Secretary Clinton, of course, gave that approval. The U.S. State Department had to sign off on the deal, giving Putin control over the U.S. uranium. Hillary headed up the State Department. Much money from Canadian mining executives, who obviously wanted the deal to go through, found its way into the Clinton Foundation. The foundation concealed these donations. Wow. It's always interesting how you put the pieces to the puzzle together, and the puzzle never really shows you what you thought you were going to see. In this just recently posted piece, the Times reporter wrote, is uranium at the heart of the standoff? That's the question I'm asking. It isn't a flippant question. I realize there are many other issues surrounding this event. This article isn't meant to take apart those matters. What he does point to, however, is the U.S. Bureau of Land Management's notion that's titled Uranium on BLM-Administered Lands in Oregon and Washington, that talks about a May 2012 presentation from Oregon Energy LLC to develop a uranium oxide mine in concert with the Department of Fish and Wildlife in southern Malheur County in southeastern Oregon. The much-publicized standoff between the Oregonian residents and law enforcement has taken place by the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. This is exactly where the uranium mine was supposed to go in. 20% of all uranium capacity was removed from our country. 20%. That's a lot of uranium, if you think about it. And we just pretty much gave it away. And the Clintons received $31.3 million in, quote, donations. I've talked several times on this show about following the money. Follow the money. Don't ever take your eye off that prize, because that will tell you what the intention was for something to happen. It will explain why a law was written. It will explain why a law failed. Everything is about money when it comes to the political class and the rich class. Don't forget that. I'm not making it a class warfare thing. Don't get me wrong. But certain things motivate them in a different manner. And money is the number one thing. So by following the money, you're going to figure out every single time the motivation behind this purchase or this sale or that sale. It's not rocket surgery. Again, this stuff is not that hard once you take it and you deconstruct what's really happening. Now, so much for that love affair. If you just tuned in, this is Greg Carpenter on Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network. We're talking about how the uranium production in the United States, 20% of it, was transferred to Russia, and the Clintons made all the money off of it. Go figure. Not really sure how that works, but somehow Hillary is always making such great and wonderful deals. Have you ever noticed that? Remember the cattle deal where she turned $1,000 into $100,000 back in Arkansas? When she worked at the Rose Law Firm, she was able to make millions of dollars. Millions. Well, she's still going to have to work a little bit harder, because the groundswell that Donald Trump is causing in the Republican parties, well, a lot of Republicans look like they're going to come out to vote. Hillary's got to get something to get her ship off the ground to get people in the Democrat Party to get out and vote. Maybe they should bring the wrong Reverend Jesse Jackson back and have him cook up a couple of plans from his old book.
Walked him through a potter at the Canter Jail, all because the voter rolls were going stale. Volunteers should register every single man. That's a cornerstone of our brand new plan. Let's vote. Everybody should vote. Bringing forms by the bag to tote. We are going for the jailhouse vote. Republicans are saying that it isn't fair. Another way to show they just don't care. Rainbow coalition's ready for the fight. It's more criminal to be on the right. Let's vote. Everybody should vote. Even felons should be welcome into our vote. We are going for the jailhouse vote. We have all done things we are not proud of. What we need to show now is brotherly love. That man is not in jail for selling tons of crack. I think we all know it's because he's black. Let him vote. Come on and let him vote. Stop laughing. This is not a joke. Let's give them all the jailhouse vote. Misfortunate ones who yearn to be free. Disenfranchised voters are the victims, we can agree. Forget about their murders, rapes, and robberies. Come on, hold hands and sing with me. Let's vote. Kumbaya, and let's vote. I've been singing with a lump in my throat. When we win, well then the jazz vote. As I'm saying, the inmates want to steal and connive, but like our president, they have only gun to survive. We want to put voting booth in cell number 5, and that's how we plan to keep hope alive. Devil.
Well, that's one way of getting more votes. Another
vote.
Way of getting more votes is just simply
gonna give GOP
states
a stroke.
Like Maryland,
when we
Delaware,
with
New
the
Jersey,
vote.
Pennsylvania, Virginia,
smack
Kentucky,
with the
Tennessee,
vote.
Indiana, Arkansas,
with
Louisiana, Georgia, South Carolina, Utah, and Nevada have rather hackable systems. How about that? In probably about a little more than half the states, there's an optical scan that's required. Few states still have the punch card. Believe it or not, Maine, Vermont, punch cards. New York still has the pull the lever. Only state in the union where you have to pull the lever still. Little old, little antiquated, but hard to hack. And no one has a paper ballot, which is impossible to hack. Most of the states have chosen to go with something that's easily accessible by a virus administered by a hacker. So technically, you could steal the election. Have you heard anything about this from the feds? No. Are we going to invite in the UN to make sure that our elections are fair? No. But yet we have other countries do that, don't we? We tell them they got to do it. They want to have fair and objective election outcomes. But here we won't do that because we're better than that. The uproar in Flint, Michigan. How long ago did it start with lead in the water? Does anyone know? I studied it for a while, made comments about it. I sent letters about it too. Several people in the public health field did. Well, it turns out that they finally started to do something about it because they started to receive some heat about it. But it was one brave doctor who went on the news, who went on TV and started proclaiming the issues with lead in the water. No one knew about it. Same thing here. No one knew about it here. Now, in Flint, Michigan, did you hear the news that the United Nations condemned us for the treatment of people back in October, back in November, sometime in there? I'll pull the article up. We were condemned. The United Nations was considering deploying troops to Michigan because the conditions were so bad. We sit and point the fingers at every single other country in the world, and the United Nations considered deploying troops here on our soil because we were so messed up and couldn't take care of our own people. Do we really have a handle on what's going on? Yeah, I don't think so. Voter fraud. So we just started talking a little bit about hacking voting machines, and there have been questions about legitimate election outcomes for years based on this. In some countries, there's no question about the outcome. Like in the Soviet Union when, you know, Stalin was the boss guy or Mao was in charge in China. There's no question about what the outcome is. You got it. But if we're so bold to stand up and say, hey, you have to have UN observers over here in, this African nation or this Asian country, why didn't we do that to the Soviet Union? Why don't we say, hey, you have to have UN observers come in here. You guys are on the Security Council. You should be setting the example for the rest of the world. Why didn't we call out the Soviet Union back then? Because we were really still buddy-buddies with them. Goes back to this love-hate thing we have with the Russians. We project that we hate them, but we get along and we love them. We've been doing it for years. But back to the election thing real quick here. You have to really think about how important this is to be able to hack a voting machine. Just like when JFK's folks had all of the ballot boxes stuffed in Chicago in 1960, or there was a serious question on the legality of the presidency of Rutherford B. Hayes based on ballot box stuffing back in the late 1800s. This is a form of ballot box stuffing. Last presidential election, there were some districts where the number of registered voters exceeded the number of living people in the Democrat Party. For example, number of eligible voters might have been 500,000, but the number of people living in that district was only 375,000. And the Republicans had listed 100,000 eligible voters. How did the Democrats get 500,000 eligible voters? Well, there's only 375,000 actual people. It's not a mistake. This is not an error. This is what we call a strategy. It's a deception strategy. Folks, you're so caught up with watching the left hand wave around in the air that you don't see the right hand pull the card out from underneath the sleeve, and you're amazed every time the magician can show you the card that you picked. It's sleight of hand. You're being led one way, and you're not being shown certain things. You have to be the watchdog. You have to be the one to be out there to call these types of things out. You cannot let them go by. There's a bunch of people that I know that are going to be watching activity to look for voter fraud on the technical side. But you have to be the folks on the ground. You've got to be the ones out there to say, this is wrong. This is not moral. This is not just. This is manipulative. This is vindictive. And it's illegal. And you better go to jail. You better go and have those people put in jail. You want to win a country back from the edge? You got to pray and you got to do something. You can't sit there and say, God, I know you'll take care of this, and then go out and shoot 18 holes of golf. Not telling you don't play golf. I'm just saying that can't be your strategy. Just like hope is not a strategy, golf is not a strategy. Golf requires strategy, but that's another thing for another day. And I am horrible at golf strategy, let alone just trying to hit the ball. But I digress. Voting machines. It's as easy to crack a voting machine as it is to break into an ATM, or as easy as it is to break into OPM, or as easy as it is to break into Target. You're seeing a trend here? What I'm saying in short is it's not hard. It's extremely easy. And some of these legacy voting machines, dear Lord, these things are horrible. You could walk right into those things. Technically, you can walk right into them. That's how bad they are. They're similar to the SCADA systems, the supervisory control data acquisition systems that are used to control water flow in dams and things like that. They weren't designed to have security built into them. They were designed many years ago for one function, and that's all they do. But they can be manipulated. They can be controlled. And they weren't designed with the thought that somebody was going to hack them. So there's no security to these things. So in the previous show, when we were talking about things that keep the CIA deputy director up at night, this isn't one of them. Voting fraud isn't one of them. Really, cyber attack is on our infrastructure, even though we get hit every day all the time from everybody in the world who we're pissing off. If you look at it, the people that are hacking us or throwing malicious software at us the most are the people we're pissing off the most. We're pissing on the most. Not too smart about what we do. We need to take a step back and declare friendship with the Russian bear and knock this off, because we really don't have a beef. I'm Greg Carpenter, Reverse Deception Radio, here on the Veritas Radio Network from St. John.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and suppressing your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
We're giving you 5 minutes to gather the Pentagon-sized pile of scales that's fallen from your eyes. Reverse Deception. We'll be right back on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.